having discussed all the possible combination, permutation, combination, and the views of the government, requirement, everything. Now, as far as agriculture reforms is concerned, I am concentrating on the recent passing of 3 bills by the government. The government, with the aim of transferring the agriculture in the country and raising the farmers' income level, have passed 3 important legislation from the parliament. These 3 legislations sought to bring much needed reform in the agricultural market, but it is important to see whether the aspects which we have discussed whether covered under this or not, and whether it is easy to implement it or not. This may remove with the intention to remove the restriction of the private stock holding of the agricultural produce, or creating trading areas free of middlemen and take the market to the farmer rather than selling through the agents or mandi dealers or through the middlemen or traders. These 3 important legislature, as I have mentioned earlier, one is the farmer producer trade and the commerce, that is promotion and facilitation bill. Second one is farmers agreement and price assurance bill for the Farm Services Act, which gives an empowerment and the protection to the farm produce, and there is an amendment to the Essential Commodities Act. First bill, let us see little bit in detail. The first reform bill, which was passed in the parliament, is the Farmers, Producers, Trade and Commerce Promotion and Facilitation Act. The name itself indicates that, promotion and facilitation. What it contains? It contains 2 things. One, freedom to the farmers. In what respect? The act provides the farmers the freedom of choice related to sale and purchase of produce. Freedom, anywhere they can go, anywhere buy, anywhere they can sell. That is number one. Number two, liberation from the cess. When the farmers will not be charged any cess or do not levy any sale of their produce under this act. Further, there will be a separate dispute resolution mechanism for the farmers. So while moving across the state or within the state for sale and purchase of this kind of produce, there will be no tax will be levied on the farmer. So these are the 2 important features of this promotion and facilitation. The Farmers Produce Trade Commerce Promotion Bill also gives some of the offer certain benefits by implementing this. What are those benefits? First benefits, which according to the government, is it promotes the trade. How? It promotes the barriers free interstate and intrastate trade and commerce outside the physical premises of the market notified under the state APMC, that is Agricultural Produce Market Committee. At each state level, this is the marketing committee. APMC market are there. Okay. So outside the purview of that, farmers can sell and buy the farm produce, and there will be no levy of any taxes. This is one benefit that they are giving. So they say that it promotes the trade. Now, second benefit, government is thinking that it is a better price. It will be open, more choice for the farmers, reduce marketing cost for the farmers, and help them in getting the better price. This is on the paper, but better price, farmers are that way, he is not a true negotiator for the price. So I don't know how exactly this better price will be faced by their products. Okay. Third one, one nation, one market. This is the concept. This act will help to create one India, one agricultural market, and that will lay the foundation for ensuring the golden harvest for our hard-working farmers. This is the matter of, I cannot comment on more on that. Second bill has the features and which talks about the empowerment of the protection. What is the feature of this bill? This aims to provide for the national framework on farming agreements that protects and empowers the farmers to engage with agribusiness firms, processors, wholesalers, and exporters on the large retailers for the farm services. On one side, in earlier bill, they say they are avoiding this middleman. And here, in second bill, they are saying that you should converse with or you should have engaged with these people, that is business firms, processors, wholesalers, exporters, and the large retailers. Okay. So it means again, the old days is again brought into the situation. I am not criticizing this bill, but I am telling the reality of the features which are mentioned in this bill. And it is also stated, while I am giving the empowerment and the protection to the farmer by passing this bill by the parliament, the benefits. What is the benefit? Level playing field. The new legislation will empower the farmers for engaging with the processor, wholesaler, aggregator, wholesaler, large retailers, as well as the exporter, etc., on a level playing field without any fear of exploitation. How the exploitation will not be there? There will be stiff competition if these people come together and the farmer alone cannot fight against them. Okay, so we do not anticipate that there will be more benefit will be accrued to the farmers. Of course, again, I am not criticizing this. Okay. Then transfer of the risk. What is this transfer of the risk as per this bill? Empowerment bill. It will transfer the risk of the market unpredictability from the farmer to the sponsor and also enable the farmers to access the modern technology and better prices. Okay, transfer risk. Okay, how it will be done, that is not elaborated further. Then, third benefit is attract the private sector. So, government's intention is to privatize the agricultural market. So, this legislation will be the catalyst to attract the private sector investment in building the value chain or supply chain for the supply chain India, farm produce, to the national and the global markets and in agricultural infrastructure. Okay. Fourth benefit, it is mentioned that it eliminates the intermediaries. Who are the intermediaries? The farmers will engage directly in the market and thereby eliminating the intermediaries, resulting into the full realization of the price. That means mandi dealers, traders, or any other authority in the market, they will be eliminated. That is what government is thinking. But is it practically possible to enter by the farmer, single farmer, small farmer, to enter into market and sell its price according to his wish? $1 million question. Okay, now coming down to third amendment bill, that is Essential Commodities Act. In this act, this original bill of Essential Commodity Act was passed in the parliament in 1955. Thereafter, this amendment has come. India has become a surplus in most of the agri commodities, but the farmers have been unable to get the better prices due to the lack of investment in the cold storage and processing and export. There is no investment at all. So that facility is not at all available. Though farm produce is increased. Imposition of the curbs on the stocking of the farm and the farm produce, the regulation of the prices, commodities, under the Essential Commodities Act are some of the factors which are responsible for less entrepreneurial spirit and thus less investment in this farm sector was happened. By amending this bill, what benefit farmers have got? This amendment would deregulate the commodities, such as which commodities? Cereals, edible oils, oil seeds, pulses, onions, potatoes, and it will help to lessen the fears of the private investors of excessive regulatory interference in their business operations. That is the benefit according to the government, but in reality it is not possible. That is what everybody is feeling. Any limit under Exchange of Commodity Act, okay, over these commodities will be imposed only in exceptional circumstances such as war, famine, or extraordinary prices rise in natural calamities. The freedom to the produce, hold, move, distribute, supply will be lead to harnessing the economies of the scale and attract the private sector or the foreign direct investment into the agricultural sector. It will help to drive up an investment in the cold storage and modernization of the food supply chain. Now, having understood these three legislation which are recently passed last year only, previous year only, in 2020, let us understand the significance of these acts. What is the significance of this? To summarize, the reforms are expected to accelerate the growth in the sector through the private sector investment in building the infrastructure and supply chain or value chain for farm produce in national and the global market. This is according to the bills, according to the government perception. Okay? So, next one is, they are intended to help the small farmers who do not have means to either bargain for their produce, to get the better price, or to invest in the technology to improve the productivity of the farm. The next one is, next significance is, the legislation on contract farming will allow the farmers to enter into the contract with the agri-business firms or large retailers or pre-agreed price for their produce. Much before produce is prepared, the contract will be entered into somebody else who doesn't know ABCD about the farm and farming. And by virtue of that, according to me, the significance is not correct. Contract farming, yes, it is okay. Some farmers or FPOs come together and one type of crop in large areas can be produced. It will also help the farmers for regions with a surplus produce to get the better prices, and consumers of the regions with the shortages and the lower prices. That is anticipated. Getting better prices anticipated. Okay. It will promote the creation of the farmer producer organization on large scale and will help creating the farmers friendly environment for the contract farming and where the small players can benefit. That is what in earlier I have already explained this, how the government is intending to create the farmer producer organization. Then, competition. Competition is the best protector of the stakeholder, whether it is the consumer or it is a farmer. Having a variety of the buyers that will protect the farmers from exploitation, and by having more sellers, that is farmers, consumers can buy the better product at better deal. Now, impact, significance of these bills we have seen. Now, how this bill will impact of these legislative reforms on the farmers, farmers protest and the issue involved. Because of lot of imbalances, lot of confusion, and nobody understood what the content of this and how it will be affected on them, there are certain different angles from which the impact can be studied. First angle is federal angle. Federal angle is nothing but it is a, as per the legislation, the provision of the farmers' produce trade and the commerce promotion and facilitation Act 2020 provides unfettered commerce in designated trade areas outside the APMC jurisdiction. So, not exactly, but it is step towards the abolition of APMC market where farmers were much comfortable, number one. So APMC will go, that is what it is anticipated. That is the federal angle. Apart from this, the act also empowers the central government to issue an order to the state in furtherance of this law's objectives. State government has to implement it. However, matters of the trade and agriculture being a part of the state list have caused the resentment in the states. Lack of consultation. What was happening? Lot of consultation. First, the ordinance route, and now the hastily attempted to pass in the act in the parliament without proper consultation or adds to the mistrust among the various stakeholders, including the farmers. Also, by allowing the trade zones to come up outside the APMC area, farmers have become apprehensive that the new system would lead to eventual exit from the minimum support price. That was the fear in the minds of the people or the farmers. Absence of any regulation in non-APMC mandis. Another issue that is raised by the farmer is that it gives the preference for the corporate interest at the cost of the farmer's interest. In the absence of any regulation in non-APMC mandis, the farmers may find it difficult to deal with the corporates if you are trying or bill is trying to abolish the presence of APMC. Then farmers fear that it will be very difficult for them to compete with or to deal with the corporates as they solely operate on the move of the profit seeking. Non-favorable market conditions may also happen. While retail prices have remained very high and the data from the wholesale price index, that is WPI, suggests a decentralization or declaration in the farm rate price for most agricultural produce. With rising input cost for production, the farmers do not see the free market based framework which is providing them the remunerative prices. And these fears gain the strength with the experience of the state such as Bihar, where it is abolished APMC in 2006 itself. After the abolition of the mandis, farmers in the Bihar on the average received a lower price as compared to minimum support price for most crops. Impact on the stakeholder by passing these bills. First stakeholder is a farmer. The farmer is now a producer and the seller of his own produce and will be the free to enter into the agreement with the private trade directly. Practically, it is possible or not, it is a $1 million question. Consumers. The consumers would now get the produce as much lower cost. Do not understand on what basis. Okay? Then middlemen. Although the role of middlemen by abolishing the APMC is not going to end completely. They will be there. If APMC is not there, they will catch hold the farmers. Their hold on the trade will not be a strong. That is what government is thinking, but it is practically not possible. That is what the fear conscience is. State governments, the state government states such as Punjab and Haryana will be adversely affected as there will be a huge loss in annual revenue collection. With this, we have completed our discussion on this last topic, and here I would like to place before you my thanks to Wellington Institute of Management for giving me an opportunity and elaborately discuss with you better in subject so as to bring it to in very relatively or less relatively good manner. And with this, it is very, I am once again thankful for the Wellington Institute of Management for giving me the opportunity for the discussion with you as well as for reviewing the earlier book as well as your syllabus, considering the recent development and bring it to your notice what exactly the agriculture sector and finance requirement is. So friends, thank you very much and all the best to you. God bless you. Thank you.